Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
It's another sunny day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price.
Well, Ashley, thank you very much for the welcome. But listen, let me tell you, I'm so excited about this. Let me tell you what happened. Now, you know, when we started out this day, it was cloudy and overcast. Oh, I remember?
And it was rainy yesterday.
Right, but see, I was sitting there, and I was getting ready for the show and working through some things. I looked out, and I thought, gee, it's cloudy and overcast. And then the Holy Spirit said, but it's Thursday. What are you going to do? I said, oh, we're going to get some sunshine because we've got a winning streak. And so as we were coming up on this about an hour and a half ago, and I looked at it and I said, now listen, this is Thursday. We get sunshine on Thursday because that's what I'm enjoying. And don't you know God honored that word? Is it not beautiful out there now?
It is beautiful. The weather is just perfect. The sun is just right.
You know, sometimes you got to just press your way. I think that part of what we lost as the body of Christ over the last couple of decades is that press your way spirit. You know, when we think about how God was so moving, you know, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, really 70s, 80s, and 90s, how he was really moving, and all of a sudden, right afterwards, we started getting all of these criticisms, you know, well, you're forcing Jesus on people, well, you're too religious, well, you're this and that. And I thought about that because, you know, I bought into it. And I thought about that, Ashley, and this is what I realized. Well, of course the winning team is going to be criticized. Giants make great targets. And so we bought into it. And so because people whined and they cried and they didn't like what we said and they didn't like how we said it and they didn't think it was right and their religious beliefs or whatever, but God was winning. And so I'm going to tell you something today, people. God is winning, and this time when he wins, we're not going to take down. We're not going to go back and let the folk who got a problem with our success. See, we didn't realize that God was being successful, and the devil had a problem with his success, and that's how we got to where we are today. So I'm excited, and I'm thrilled about the fact that God is doing a new thing. But this time, we're not going to allow somebody to criticize us out of our victory and to complain us out of our success and to whine us out of our winnings. We're going to accept the fact that God is great. Our God is an awesome God. Jesus is the great I am. And so as a result, you know, we have to hold fast to what he's given us. Hold fast. I love that. And we're going to have to hold fast not because, well, it's a religious thing to do. No, we're going to hold fast because God is showing off again. He's stepping out of anonymity. He's stepping onto this world stage. He's stepping into his arena, and he's going to win because he is the winner's circle God. And so but those of us now in this move, this next move, we're not going to apologize because Jesus is the great I am. We're not going to apologize because he's the best of the best. He's the top of the top. I feel like this, may the best God win. And if he's winning, we're going to celebrate that. And we're not going to allow folks to tell us that something is wrong with us because we chose the right God and because he's taking territory and he's winning the whole battle. So I was thinking about that as I looked out there at the weather, and I thought, that's not what it is. God gave us some powerful blessing. You know, Peter said that God gave us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And think about that. That means heaven is stocked for what we need and stocked with what we have and waiting for us to say, you know what, this is my inheritance. I mean, God vowed this to me. He pledged this to me. So if he pledged it, the least I could do is go and get it. And so I don't know who you are today. I think it's all of our callers. But I'm telling you this. This time, God's getting ready to blow it out of the water, and we're not going to apologize because he's winning, and we're not going to apologize and regret that he's conquering, and we're not going to succumb to criticism because God is fulfilling his word, and he's passing his treasures on to his sons and daughters of the Most High God. That's very important. And I wanted to start out today with that reality because I recognize that a lot of us are in our positions right now. I won't say position. I will say a lot of us are in our predicaments right now because we are being too coy and too shy and too self-effacing about God's triumph. God is awesome. He is the Almighty God. This is his plan. It's his world. And when we realize that God already decreed it for us and needs us to have it, then we shouldn't apologize. I don't know what to tell you. You go and get your from your God. I'm getting from mine. Okay? This is what Jesus is handing out. This is what he's dealing out right now to his family, to his children, and to his inheritance. And we're not going to go out there on this particular one, and as soon as God starts winning and taking ground and taking territory, we're going to start apologizing, and we're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to win. I meant to win. Jesus set out to win. Here's what I learned. God said, if you invite me, I'm going to win. I come to win. I come as a winner. I don't even come to see if I'm going to win. That's why when he pulls back, he's got to pull back 100%. Because when God comes in, he comes in to dominate. He comes in to reign. He comes in to rule because it's his planet. Because we are his people. These are his creatures. And that's the part that we miss. And so, we've been praying all week long, Ashley. We've had a special prayer vigil for what God is doing. Because we're talking about we're praying about the summit coming up. And Ashley, we're going to have you chat about it a little bit. It's one of your favorite topics. But I want to say to everybody here, God is getting ready to do things in your life. And folk are going to have a problem with it. And that is their problem. It is their problem that God is blessing. The difference between your God and the God they're serving is that your God is willing to include them and willing to bless them if they come by the door. But you are no longer going to apologize because we serve the great I am, because he is the best of the best, the top of the top. And we're not going to apologize when he steps in our life, because trust me, when he stepped out and the other side was winning, they didn't care about you. They didn't care that you lost your house. They didn't care that you lost your this. They didn't care about any of that. They just cared about the fact that, hey, it's our time. It's our win. We go home with the prize. And you're going to have to get that attitude. One of the things that God has been saying to me is that we've been talking in the body of Christ, particularly in charismatic circles and apostolic prophetic circles. We've been talking about, we're kings and priests. But there's an attitude that a king has about his kingdom, a priest has about his God, that, trust me, we have yet to develop. But God be praised, we're going to cultivate that attitude. And we are going to cease apologizing because Jesus is the great I am, because he is the Alpha and Omega, because he is the beginning and end, because he is the triumpher, conqueror, commander of the host. You have got to start feeling very, very boastful about your God and about his abilities. We can't say, now, God, behave yourself. Now, come help me, but behave yourself. Okay, God, I want you to get this, but listen, don't upset anybody. Well, God, I don't want you. Okay, God, hold on now. Okay, now, God, see, people are, make up your mind. You in or out? You on the team or you out? You in the game or you looking at it? Because that's what's getting ready to happen. There is a move of God. There is a literal exertion of God on creation. He is inserting himself. He's exerting his authority. He is imposing himself, and he is not apologizing about it. And we're going to stop being apologetic about his awesomeness and about his greatness, and we're not going to begrudge him his win, because his wins are our wins. If God fails, we are failures, because we come to him as a failure. So if we go to him and he's already failing, why go? That is not him. And so part of why God pulls back is because he said to me, I don't know who you are today. You're asking the Lord, why is it that I'm not getting blessed? How is it? I've been praying for this for years after year after year. I've been, oh, God, what is it? Is he hearing? God said, I heard you the day before you prayed. I heard you the day before you were born that you would need to ask me this, and I would need to ask it. But let me tell you why your prayers are held up. Your prayers are not held up because God cannot do his job. He cannot deliver on his word. God said to Moses, my arm is not so short that I can't save. Remember, I'm the God that brought you out. God's issue is, what are you going to do with his wins, with his victory? What are you going to do with God's winnings? You know, when he wins your battles for you and he gets you that house or he gets you that job, when he gets you that court settlement, he gives you the victory in that area, what are you going to do with his winnings? Because the majority of the time, God will move on our behalf, and we were so sincere when we needed it, but then after we got what we want, we're off going on our way someplace else, and we're not able to keep what he's given us. We're not able to keep his conquest, to keep his triumph, and to possess what he has taken for us and obtained for us. And God is saying to somebody there today, whoever you are listening to me today, God said, you must become a keeper before I make you a reaper. And a lot of times we want to reap, but we can't keep. And so we'll reap it and lose it. We'll reap that victory and we'll lose it. But God says, I want you to become a keeper before I make you a reaper, so that my labors are not in vain, so that my efforts are not futile, so that my name is not profane. Like, I can't keep what I do. So God would just as soon delay your answers to your prayer if they look like you're not in a mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, or even material position to keep them. It is not hard for God to get you a job, but it is difficult for him to keep getting you jobs and you can't keep them. See, now that's discrediting to him. And God said, my name, I'm not going to profane my own name. And so here's what I like about what we do on Thursdays at the Paula Price Show, what we do in my ministry, what we do in our trainings, is that we talk about if the problem isn't God's inability, then what is it? And if the problem is me, then where is it? And this is not always about whether or not you've got this secret sin or whatever. We all got stuff. Some of y'all got a little more than others. Some of us got a little less. But we all got stuff. There's none righteous outside of the Holy Ghost. But this is about whether or not you can keep what you reap and whether he can come back to it and breathe on it and multiply instead of constantly reply or resupply. See, we want God to just get it and then do it. Okay, God, well, you got me this house, so you got to pay for it. No. You asked him for the house. Because, see, he didn't have to make a bill for himself. You asked him for the house. So now you need to pay for it. He said, don't ask amiss. Ask when you're ready to keep. Ask when you're ready to deliver. Well, God, you gave me this marriage, so you got to make it work. No, because my marriage is working with my church. Now you need to make your marriage work in your house. See, it is. We want God to go and obtain it, and then we want him to maintain it. And see, God's like, I will obtain, but I need you to maintain. And that's where he is with his body today. It is not difficult for God to turn this thing around. It is a piece of cake. As a matter of fact, the blessing of the world is that God does not exert his full authority and his full dominion over the planet, because ain't nobody going to play in the game but him. He will be the only player on the field. This is his game. God is the God that created his own adversary. He created his own contest. He created his own resistance so that he can continually show himself out doing his last best. God outdoes his personal best every single day. And to make a whole planet and then to make everybody free will and then to go ahead and have folks that won't like him, he's never going to like him, not going to serve him, not going to change. And he still does it. Why? Because he's like, I'm that good. I'm that able and I'm that powerful. That is not our issue. The issue that I have is I'm not going to obtain for you and maintain what I get for you. I need you to maintain it. I need you to keep your job. I need you to keep your income. I need you to make good buying decisions. I need you to train your children. I need you to nurture. I need you to submit to your husband. I need you to nurture your wife. That's your job. And if you do your maintaining, I'll keep obtaining. And God will continue to increase you until you hit your max point. I just cannot handle anymore. And now this is mature Christians. See, this is mature sons and daughters. This is not the babies talking about you did it, tie my shoe, make my food. This is mature sons and daughters. That's when you become a partner with the Godhead. That's when you become a co-laborer in what he is doing. And that's why you're stuck, because God is like, I'm not going to give you a loan to go to school and you won't do your homework. Why would I do that? I'll just soon let you go to the little seminars around the corner and get what you can handle. He's never going to give you more than you can bear, but that also means he's never going to give you more than you can handle. We like to say, well, you know, the Lord's not going to put any more on us than we can bear. That's true. Any more than we can bear. Bear up under, bear through, whatever. But God is never going to give you more than you can handle, because for him to do what he does in our lives, he has to move it from someplace and give it to us. That means he's denying someone else so that he can supply you. He's making a choice, and he's doing it not because you pray better or worse. We told you that if you prayed all of this stuff, it would happen. No, no. He's doing it because he wants to teach you how to prosper and thrive in his kingdom, but he's also doing it because he wants to always give it to the better choice. God is going to start with his kids, but he's not going to lose on his children. He will always start with his kids because he's God. He's father. He loves his family. But he's not going to lose all that he did, and he's not going to go against his own best interest. He would just as soon wait for us to grow up. How many of you out there listening to me today, you have grown sons and daughters, children that you know, if I can't leave my inheritance to him, he's going to be gone. What is he going to do with my money? If I leave my wealth to this girl, she's going to give it to all the little boyfriends, well, I'm going to have nothing. He's not going to do that. God is not going to cause his labor to be in vain. That's why he told us not to do it. How can he know about vain labor unless he's experienced it? He has to experience everything that he has rendered a judgment on, given an opinion on. So he already knows that. He tells you he's not going to do futile labor. He's not going to do idle words on purpose, because God is about positivity. He's about multiplication. He's about increase. He's about dominance. He's about magnifying, amplifying, you name it. That's God. So he always is going to put his product with that which is going to give him the greatest reward, the greatest harvest. And how does he know that? Does he know just because he has an inkling? Well, he knows because he's God. But how is he going to show all of the other forces and that support system that he has to assign to our victory, other than he shows them through our trials? How do we handle our trials? How do we bounce back? How resilient are we? How much do we take seriously what he gives us? How much do we attempt to perfect it? How much can we give him out of the least? What is the least he can give us, and still turn around and have us give him back the most? I mean, all of his parables are saying, this is how we think, guys. In our world, this is how we operate. We operate on the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. We feel like the tiniest thought can produce what we want. That's how we operate in our world. Now, we need you to be like that in your world. Now, we operate on giving everybody according to what they can do. We don't waste. We don't do waste. God's not going to give you a huge ministry and you have the capacity to do something only with your family. He's just going to give you enormous strength for working with your family. Now, when you get good at the family, then he's going to add a couple of relatives, external family. Then he's going to add a few relatives. After that, you're going to get a few friends, and then maybe he might give you the neighborhood. And at each point, he's proving to the systems and to the angels and forces that he has supporting your success every step of the way, he's proven to them that you are the one who can take the more. So Jesus gives us a parable, and this is his parable. Be careful how you meet it out, because with the same measure you meet it out, it's going to be measured back to you. And because we're religious, and it sounds so religious, be careful how you meet it out, because with the same measure you meet it out, it's going to be given back to you. And nobody takes that seriously, and that's how people preach it. Bottom line is, we're not going to give you back what you lose. We're going to give you the degree of what you kept and the degree of what you've increased. We're going to keep increasing your increase. And we'll keep increasing your increase as long as you keep increasing our giving. See, it's a partnership. That's how it works. And so you're talking to somebody who built a kingdom out of nothing. It's very hard to persuade somebody who built a kingdom out of nothing. First, in the spirit realm, we don't even know how many worlds he did. We know how many planets. And they were all once populated with something, okay? So we know that's just our solar system. We don't even know everything else he did. So we're talking about this man has done it. He is proven. He is not questioning himself. Jesus does not second guess whether or not he should have given you that blessing. There's no second guessing on his side, because he already has tried it. My word is tried 7 times. He said, I already know this works. I know it works because we've been using this system. We've been using this formula for ages, and it's worked. My kingdom is huge. It is well stocked. It's invincible. It's indomitable because it works. But we had to start somewhere too. And that is what God is doing in your life today. He's starting you somewhere so that you can, he can raise you up to be the equivalent of what they do in their kingdom in this world. As he is, so are we. In this world, that's his goal. His objective is that. Not just as he is saved, so are we saved. That's not, they don't walk around saying we saved in heaven all the time. That's not what they're doing. And I hear God saying to somebody, I'm raising you up to be a champion, but you're going to have to work with me. I'm raising you up to be a leader. I'm raising you up to be an entrepreneur. I'm doing it, but I have to do it step by step. I can't just throw you in the deep end of the pool and you've never been in water that deep. I'm going to lose you. And God's not going to lose you, because Jesus said, of all that thou has given me, I should lose nothing. So every step of the way, he gives you a victory. Let's see what you do with it. Okay, we'll wait. He'll give you a little wisdom. He'll put some people in your life to give you some counsel. And here's where the first test is. Oh, my gosh, you're going to love this. Here's first test. He's going to give you some people, give you some counsel. I hear God, too. Oh, no. Mm-mm. God already told me. I got it in a dream. I got it in a vision. Okay, so there you go. Ear closed to wisdom. Strike one. Ear closed to wisdom. Then he's going to give you a mentor or a coach. And they say, well, here's this. Do this or do that or go this way. Listen, I can make up my own mind. I can think for myself. God is leading me. Okay. Strike two. Cannot cooperate and work with others. So why? Now, why are these important? Okay, because you sound like you're judging, Dr. Preston. No, I'm not. I'm assessing. I'm assessing because God is doing the same assessment from his throne in heaven that your job, your bosses do. You don't want an employee who cannot listen to instruction, who cannot follow instructions. You don't want somebody who's so independent they can't work with the team. Because, see, what we want God to give us as a blessing comes with people, comes with teams, comes with other folks, other groups, other organizations. There's a whole dynamic in your answered prayer that you've not considered. You've only considered the gratification of it. But all that other stuff, that goes with it. So if you're not good at talking to people and you want God to make you a worldwide leader, you do see that there's a problem with that. If you're not good at getting along with people, you're not good at following folks, if you're not good at acquiescing for the sake of the whole, then God's going to keep you in that pool. And he's going to keep you there because he has to occupy you for the rest of your life. Now, he has big pictures. God's got big dreams for you. But you have to show him that you are big enough in your spirit, in your soul, in your knowledge, in your heart, in your understanding. You're big enough to keep that and withstand the pressures and still secure it. And that takes time. Growth. That's what we mean when we talk about growth. We're not just saying, okay, well, now you're ready to pray in tongues 3 seconds. Now I can pray in tongues 3 minutes. That's not an achievement. Well, I used to be able to read just one verse. Now I could read, half a chapter. I mean, yesterday I read a whole book of the Bible, Philemon. Come on, guys. And so we're talking about who is God to you. And this whole discussion today, that's the ultimate question. Who is God to you? Who do you think God is? You know, Jesus said that, asked the apostles that. He said, who do you think I am? Who do men say I am? Well, they say I'm this. They say you're this. They say you're that. He said, well, what do you think? Because it's what you think he is that determines how you will apply yourself and adapt yourself to what he's brought you into existence to do. Why did Jesus come into your life? Is he big enough to give you that? Well, if he's big enough to give you that, then you realize that he's going to expect you to be big enough to keep it. He's never going to give you more than you can maintain. So if you decide, oh, my gosh, I'm so sick of working late nights. I don't know what I was thinking when I asked God for that. No, don't worry about it. You won't have it long. He said count the cost for a reason. God is a powerful God. He's potent. All of this is his. And when he decides to switch it into your hands, he switches it, the whole thing, because he's a complete God. So he switches the whole thing. We're asking for what we can see. And God is saying, but I want you to be ready for what I will send, because I'm going to send it in its full package. So that's where you are with the Holy Ghost right now. And I feel God is saying to somebody, he's talking to somebody today, and he's saying, big up, I need you to big up a little bit before I give you this big thing you're asking for. You want me to give you your city? I need you to be big enough to handle a city. And I need you to know what a city involves. Half of us, we're going to take a city, don't know what the politics are, don't know the geography, don't know how the government is voting, don't know the legislators, don't even know the council. And yet we're going to take the city. And then do you know how to interact with those people? All of that takes readiness. Because otherwise, all you're asking God for is a flood, and everybody knows a flood is going to drown you and destroy you. See, if you cannot take a flood and turn it into a dam or turn it into a pond or turn it into something manageable, then it's going to destroy you. And so when you start asking God to open the floodgates of heaven, make sure that you've got a dam big enough to take the floodgates. To take what's pouring out. Make sure you have some place to put people. You have some ideas. You have a plan. You got vision. And you've got skills. And skilled people. So you can't just have the skills yourself. Because it's just one person. I mean, Jesus comes. He's one guy. He's God. God in flesh. He still comes to earth. God in flesh. One guy. And still chooses 12 folk to help him get it done. And yet we want to do the Lone Ranger ministry. As soon as the 12 apostles get started and realize, oh, my God, this thing is bigger than we ever dreamed. Because, see, when Jesus was just having folks to preach, they just came to Jesus. He preached. He sent them home. Every now and then he gave them a snack and sent them home. But that's not what it was for the apostles. They came to the apostles. They had to stay in the kingdom. They came from their gods, their lives, their old world, whatever. These people had to establish an institution to host this massive body that was growing every single day. And that was, they finally got what the training was about. And Jesus did not just let it fall on them hard as it is, because, you know, so many times we preach that, you know, they just followed Jesus. No. Jesus groomed them. That is why they knew what to do when the dynamics happened. He groomed them for it. So if you are thinking God's going to give you this great and mighty thing, then you need to be in a great and mighty program. And just going to church on Sunday, doing your midweek thing, listening to your tapes and reading your Bible are insufficient for the visions that you have or the prayers you're sending up. And so God will make you pray and let you pray for decades about something, because in every year you get another piece. If you really want it, you'll just keep changing. You get another year, he didn't do it, he'll give you an inkling or give you a sample, and then you'll start changing. And you'll start reading more, or you'll learn more, or you'll alter how you look, or alter how you walk, or where you work, or where you live, whatever. But you'll start adapting subliminally. You'll adapt to what God wants. And when you're finished adapting, all of a sudden, you go from the subliminal to the suddenly. And all of a sudden, he'll give it to you. And you'll think, wow, my prayers got it. No. He made you work for that. He made you change, emerge, leave friends, leave home. Get a new job, go to school, get an education, take some training, meet some people, get out of your comfort zone. He made you do all that answered prayer would require of you, because all of your prayers, when they're answered, have requirements. And it's the requirements that God wants to get you accustomed to before he gives you the prayer itself, the product. And that's why it seems like it takes him forever. It takes God no time. He can snap whatever. God's got angels that do nothing but say, what do you want next? Oh, I thought you might want this, so I did it. But he has to tell them. They love us too, but they have to stop. Everything he has to stay on hold for his wisdom. And wisdom is what God is always working in our souls. His wisdom. Always and also. Always. Okay, so now if I get this job, what does that mean? Well, does that mean I'm going to ignore my kids? Does it mean I'm going to ignore my husband? Am I going to ignore my wife? Am I going to cut off this? What does it mean? Count the cost. And this is the wisdom that you need for your soul to succeed before your life is successful. Because if your soul is stocked with wisdom, and your successes will be able to be passed on to your children and your children's children. The people who are rise and fall in a decade or two are people who got answered prayer with empty souls. When you ask yourself, whatever happened to so-and-so, they took the answered prayer, but they never stocked their soul with what it required to keep it. Remember, if God is holding you up, it's because he has a long-term plan for you. Because the longer the plan, the longer he takes to get you ready. Now, I'm going to end it on this thought, and I say this all the time, and I will continue to preach this till I go home to be with the Lord. I will teach it in my class. It's probably in both of my textbooks and programs. So I'm going to say this to you again. God had a short plan for Saul. He already planned that Saul would only reign for 20 years. He did not care if Saul was good or bad at it. As a matter of fact, Saul was raised up to literally take the reins of his country when it had defected from the Most High. Remember, they got Saul after Eli died and after, you know, everybody failed and all of those. I mean, come on, Saul reigns, the ox not even there. I mean, they've got an empty priesthood. Everything is empty. It's a wreck. The treasury's a wreck. The people don't know the God any longer, and they don't want him. And so God said, well, let me give you somebody. He gave him Saul. He did not put Saul through training. He never, you know, when people say, oh, no, God didn't even tell me to go to school, that should scare you. It should scare you that he's not telling you to get training. It should scare you that he's not telling you to get developed. Well, you know, I've been in ministry for 40-some years, and it's all right, but Saul had a business. And God still didn't think that he needed to know more to hold on to a kingdom. He went from being his father's helper in a company to running a country. You realize that's a big leap. God did not give him one orientation. None. He didn't give him anything. He just said, have at it. He gave him a big ceremonious inauguration, a big ceremonious coronation, and said, go forth, boy, and figure it out as you go. When God deprives a person of his wisdom, that is not a blessing. And so Saul goes, and God only needed 20 years because he really raised Saul up to make Israel ask for the right king. Now, David, on the other hand, he put David through the pit of hell, it seemed like. But he had plans for David because David was going to reign 40 years, and his house would reign for 80 years with Solomon doing however many years he did and onward. But God cared about David's success on the throne. And if God cares about your success in your promotion, then he's going to put you through the paces. And if he doesn't put you through the paces, trust me, you're a place keeper. And that, not all bad, Saul was king, you know, and he had a great time, but he lost everything of his soul in the midst of it. Now, he had the nation, he had the money, had the power, had the prestige, and he never knew what to do with it. And he also lived his whole life wondering why was he made king in the first place, because he never knew why he was made it. There was nobody that came and saw the prophesied and said, hey, you know what, when you become a certain age, you're going to be king. But when he got the prophecy he was going to be king, it was right at the door that he was going to be king. God, if he plans to use you, whoever you are listening to me today, and either way is God, because God will deal with the short term and long term, and both bring him glory. But if you're that one, if God has earmarked you for greatness, he's going to put you through the paces. And some of you on the call today, you're going to tell me about that pace. You're going to tell me, because you're, why don't I know what I am? Why don't I know this? Because God wants you to be good, because he wants you to do more than reap. He wants you to be able to keep. And that is my word for you today. He don't ask him to obtain what you're not going to maintain. Those are two thoughts that I want to leave you with today. So I have my admonishment, my exhortation. Prophet Ashley?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you stuck, girl? Is that what happened?
Yes. I'm stuck on behalf of all the stuck listeners. That was...
What was good, Ashley? What was good about it? You, I can't even get you to come out your show. Ashley, you're really speechless.
I know, and I'll come up with something. Just the whole thing is that that reality check of what are we really asking for as people and what are we really crying about? Not connecting the dots that if God has given us an amazing prophecy and if he has given us tremendous responsibility, that with it is going to come tremendous testing. And that really is just the way it is, no matter who or what you are. They don't put a car on the road unless they run it through how many thousands of tests in the factory. And they destroy it 20 times just to see what it's going to take, how much it can protect the person that's in it. And so, yeah, my head is spinning in every good way possible. But I like it. God has earmarked you for greatness. He's going to put you through the paces. And you should be scared if he doesn't. And see, that's the piece that we don't want to accept, that if God says, I'm just going to skip you to the front of the line. I'm going to give you this huge ministry. In fact, Dr. Price, we've seen people have keys handed to them over these large estates, ministries, homes, cars, whatever, and most of them, if they didn't get out from under it soon enough, it destroyed them. They didn't know how to keep it. They were not prepared for all the dynamics that went with it. We know somebody who said somebody gave them their house, they had to turn around and sell that thing because they couldn't afford it. It wasn't a free, like, hey, it's already paid off, and yeah, just go. It's here are the keys. We're moving on to the next thing. And by the way, the bill is still on you to keep it. And that's really what we don't expect from God when we start asking for that rapid-fire promotion is we want him to cover the bill. We want him to foot the tab for our luxurious living. Because in our minds, that's what we think about. We think about all of the accoutrements. There's a business mogul, a famous one who's out there, and his second ex-wife divorced him, I believe, because she said she was so annoyed that he was always on the road and always doing business. Well, this is the same businessman who was doing all that business that attracted you in the first place. And once she got on the inside of that relationship, she realized this guy can't be home at 5 o'clock for dinner. He's sitting on multiplied millions and billions of dollars. And we have that kind of, I think, outlook as Christians sometimes, that if God says he's going to do it, then bam. It should be right there, and not that we would be thrown into a trial. So that Saul versus David's training, that's something to definitely take to heart. You taught us years ago, you're going to pay on the front end or the back end, and I thank God that we were paying on the front end, and so we wouldn't have this easy ride. We've seen some of our peers out there who got promoted very early in their ministry. They're still our age in their mid-30s and are going through because things were just handed to them because of their gift and their charisma and their ability to demonstrate, but not their ability to maintain. That was not facilitated. And so there, see, I found some words.
I'm impressed with you because, you know, I thought, my goodness, I blew the girl out the water, you know, and I really mean that. I love it. Whoever you are, God especially had me put that out there for you, that you don't ask to reap if you're not ready to keep. Don't ask God to obtain what you're not going to maintain. You know, I keep saying that because sometimes great messages fit in just simple statements, you know. And so God wants you to have just that understanding. Ask yourself, how ready I am. I like that you use that example of a house. Okay, somebody gives you a great house. Do you realize that the gardener on a great house is not the same as the little boy that you pay $10 to cut the lawn? That's different. You know, the person who has to maintain all of those that facility, there are things that you do in your little apartment. You start getting in a house, that's just not big enough. So I want, my prayer today is that your attitude will change to match your expectations, and that your expectations will match what you're talking about, that it will match the demands of your answered prayer. God has gave us a word years back. He said, listen, answer prayer is increased responsibility and increased demand. You're going to work. The more I answer your prayers, the harder you're going to work. And that's what that wife didn't understand when she prayed for this busy, wealthy man. She just thought it was magical. You know, we got too much Cinderella going on up in here. So anyway,
okay.
Talk about our summit, and then we're going to take some calls.
My Lord Jesus. Okay. So Apostolic Summit, shifting gears here, is November 21st through the 23rd here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This week's registration deal is you get $30 off any two registrations. That's two paying at the same time. You get $30 off the top of the total for that. We want you to come out and join us. We're all about building the kingdom and establishing God's divine order. The Apostolic Summit is for the saints who care about the kingdom of God, who care about perpetuating what he's doing, who care about exactly what Dr. Price talked about today, being the ones who can maintain and retain and be a keeper I love that. I love it. So if you are a keeper in the kingdom of God and you're not just concerned about reaping, but you're concerned about keeping, then you need to come to the Apostolic Summit in November. Get in your car, get on a plane, take a bus. There are people taking a bus here because they want to know, what do I need to do to keep this thing? There are people coming who were in that last wave and that last move, and they saw it slip right through our fingers, and they want to know, how do we get this back on track? That's what the Apostolic Summit is all about. With Dr. Price and her apostles, Raphael Robinson, Apostle Nona Parker, Apostle Michael Sterling, Dr. Terry Thompson, all apostles coming in from around the country to join us in pulling this thing back together in conjunction with New Era Apostleship Restitution. That's what it's all about right now. That's what Dr. Price is born to do, bring this kingdom back together. And you know what? We believe that you should be a part of that with us and not miss this opportunity. Don't let another year go by spinning your wheels, wondering what you should do, just having dreams and getting prophetic words and collecting them like they're some sort of vintage jewelry. Do something with the Word of God and take action. Register. Go to drpaulaprice.com, www.drpaulaprice.com, and click on that event. Register for the Apostolic Summit. It is not too late for you to join us this year.
Hey, you got that, girl. You're starting to sound like a chip off your old block, huh?
I better.
Well, I want to ask you, do we have any callers?
Oh, yes. And what I love, Dr. Price, about this show and you being an apostle with an extremely potent prophetic mantle is your exhortation will often hit right at the core of why a lot of people are calling in, which is why you do the exhortation, because you do want to reach more than a handful or two of people, and this enables you to throw your net out there, because I see the posts, there's some flutter activity on Twitter, some things happening on Facebook talking about, I receive this word wholeheartedly, it's for me. And so, first on the line, we have Melissa from Kansas, and Melissa is calling because she wants to find her purpose and a new job. Melissa, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
God bless you, Melissa. Is this your first time calling us?
Well, it's my second time calling, but my first time speaking with anyone.
Well, congratulations. Thank you for joining us. And you're from Kansas, huh?
Yes.
And are you happy about staying in Kansas?
Sometimes.
Yeah. But you know your time is winding up, huh?
Yeah.
Were you born there?
Yeah, I was born in Coffeyville, Kansas, but I was raised in Independence, Kansas, and now I live in Wichita, Kansas.
Wow. And so now what do you do? Are you in ministry or are you a professional?
I'm in ministry. I do dance ministry for my church. But yeah.
Well, what is your career? Where do you work? I mean, what kind of work do you do?
Right now I don't have a job, but what I do have, I have a certificate in medical assisting, but I haven't been able to find a job, and that expires in January of 2014.
That's scary.
And then I have some college credits, but I haven't completed a degree or anything.
Well, here's what I heard. Now it answers what I said. I wrote it down. I wish you could see it. If this was television, you'd see it. God wants you in nursing, and you don't want to take the studies.
Because the algebra, I can't stand algebra. It's too hard.
Oh, give me a break already. We just had this whole long talk. Did you hear my exhortation? You realize I am not the woman.
I did. I heard it.
Okay, so here's what you're going to do. You don't say something is too hard. You find out who can make it easier. So you need some training, you need a coach, you need some counseling. Okay, the internet gives you like algebra, point one, do this, point two, do that. Here's what I want you to do. You are out of purpose because you don't want to take algebra, which means you're out of purpose because you already made your mind. You're not going to do what it takes to keep what God gives you.
Oh, God.
You are out of purpose, my beloved. And you need to go. God wants you to, I got it down here. RN, you need to go the distance. Now, if algebra is the only reason why you're out of work, then, sister, we got a problem. So you are going to fix that. Now you're going to find a coach. You're going to find. You can go to any school. You realize you got the. Come on, wherever you go, there's a ton of kids that can teach you algebra. It's not algebra. It's something else. Algebra is what you are using because that's what your mind can intelligently wrap around. But there's another thing that is stopping you from wanting to go the distance, and that we need to get into. What else is there? Because it's not algebra. You can get a tutor for that.
That was really the only thing. Like, it's just, it was just hard for me as a challenge, so it made me feel overwhelmed. And I don't like to feel overwhelmed because then I just, oh. It's just too much pressure.
Okay, wait a minute. We got somewhere. Wait a minute. Papa Ashley, did you hear that? She does not like to feel overwhelmed. Oh. So now we're moving somewhere. See, it wasn't about algebra because it could have been algebra. You, and when the next course came, you didn't like that. It was demanded too much. You are not listening to me, sweetheart. I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart with all the love and affection I have for you. Hope we get a chance to meet because I would love to pray for you. But here's what I will say to you today. Somewhere, somehow, somebody told you life ought to be easy and that when you become an adult, you don't need to have the stress and the strain that you had as a kid. That was a misdirection of your purpose in life. Everything about life is worth having. You're going to have to stretch yourself. Now, you, God let you come down to the wire, and I'm so glad that he put us together on the phone today because God let you come down to the wire to ask you, so do you want to do it my way or not? Are you willing to, you ready to bite the bullet and do this? You ready to suck it up and go on? God is asking you, are you ready?
Yeah, I am. I just need some, because going back to school right now is not going to cover my bills that I have, so that's a problem right now.
I understand, and you know what, I'm with you, but here's what I've learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know him?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, y'all know each other?
Yes.
I mean, have you all met, got along? You know, do y'all have, y'all get along? Yeah, see, there we go, an issue two. You see how we're working this? You and I, this is marvelous. We were meant to talk today. So you and God have a couple of things you need to work on. Wherever you go to church, I think you need to have probably some sort of conference with your leaders to talk about where you're stuck with the Lord. Something he didn't do ticked you off. He didn't do something you wanted, and you ticked off with him, and so you're not sure you want to trust him again. But God is a merciful God, so we're going to put that on the table. We're just going to set that aside because God so wants you to win in life. He has great purposes for you, and he loves you as a daughter. So we're going to just go forward on this. When God goes through the effort of telling you what he called you to do and letting you know why you're stuck, he is not telling you that for him to throw up his hands and say, oops, but I don't know how we're going to bring it to pass. This is tough. You don't like school, and you can get another job. As far as God's concerned, and this is his word, I'm saying this to you because this is what he's saying to me. He said, I can bless you if you want to go to school and do what I want, or if you want to work in a cafe. He said, I'll bless you either way, but my highest purpose for you is to finish school. So, it's his highest purpose for you. And if that's his purpose, guess what he has? He has provision. He does not announce what he hasn't provided for. He has the answer. He has the provision. I don't care if it's you going now and then, they're going to tell you that, okay, well, you can work here, you can do this, you can fit that in, you can do some internet work. It's in your heart to succeed. Now, I want to ask you a question, Melissa. Can I ask you a question? Now, how I said my Lisa, am I saying it right?
Me, Lisa. It's like calling yourself Lisa.
Okay. So let me ask you, Lisa, are you married?
No, ma'am.
Ah, we're getting somewhere. You might not think we're getting somewhere, but I bet you a lot of my listeners out there know we're getting somewhere. You're not going to be rescued. You got to make this happen, baby girl. There is the rescuer is not. It's not going to happen for you like that. God has a plan, and I'll tell you a secret. I found out that a lot of people's blessings and provisions are held up because they're not in the right place to receive them. Even the people you need to meet are not in the world that you're living right now. And they're certainly not in that sphere. So I'm going to pray for you because this is scary for you. You're in a scary vault because, see, you're where I'm saying it's like, well, that's great, but I need money today. I know that feeling. But you know what? You're not going to get money today like that. You're not going to get all you need today from this call, but you can prepare yourself to never be in this position again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this call is about, never being here again, you know, never seeing that enemy again. And so God has got to tell you what his plans are, and it's also letting you know so you can take him off the hook. I got a plan. I've got it worked out. I can make it happen for you tomorrow morning. I can have you in something Monday morning, but will you be able to maintain? Are you committed to it? Because I'm not going to bump another person, another student out because you think you might want to give it a test. This, you passed the time of testing.
Right.
So
I want to do it. I just don't know if I should go back to the same school that I was already going to or go somewhere else. That's
well, we're going to pray. What we're going to pray is what door God opens. That's what we're going to do. Because you have been through so much around mentally with this that now you need him to take charge. So we're going to give this to the Lord. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, you take over this, and you lead Lisa where you want her to go, where you've provided, lead her there. Tariq, take her by the hand, God, and lead her where she's to go. Open up the door. Put her in front of the person that has your solution in their heart, in their mind, and take over from this time forward. You're going to have to let God do this because you have been around with it mentally way too much. So he's going to do it. Now, I'm going to pray for you to get a job because, let me tell you, we need income. And we need to do that. And for you to be able to, now let me ask you this. Do you need to recert? Is that what you do? You need to have the funds to recertify or something?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The certificate that you said is expiring in January. Do you need to recertify it? Is that what this is all about?
I don't, no, I just need to find a job. I have to use it in order for the expiration date to no longer be in effect, and I haven't used it.
Gotcha. Understand. So then we need to get you some work. We're going to employ that certificate so that you can keep going. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this wonderful daughter of yours. Lord, I thank you that you yourself are her father, and she needs to know that. God, she needs to definitely connect with the father's side of you and the father's heart because she doesn't know that. She doesn't understand how much you care for her and how much you've already worked out her life and that she can trust you and believe in you sight unseen. That's what faith is. Sight unseen, but Lord, I'm asking that you would put a knowing in her soul, a knowing in her heart that she'll understand that you are her keeper and her provider and that you can take care of her and open up any door you want for her. And I'm asking you, God, to do this by first putting her to work. So we're employing her today, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we're giving her a job that will enable her to go to school. God, I'm asking that you would give her a job that will facilitate her schooling and facilitate her going forward and fulfilling destiny. You know it. You know what's in her region. I'm asking you to do it today, God, and I'm asking you to let her know, knock on her shoulder, knock on her head and say, knock, knock, I did this. And I did this because I want to show you that I am a father to you, and I am more than a sufficient provider of all your needs. And I'm asking you to do this for Lisa today and to make it a constant reiteration in her life from this day forward, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Mm-hmm.
I know. See, you're so broken heart, you can't even do it. But I'm glad that my faith is carrying it. So you're going to call me back and say, guess what happened? Because my prayers work.
I believe you.
God bless you, babe. Take care.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
I tell you, sometimes we wrestle with, hey, you know what, Ashley, we wrestle with those things so long, we almost like, I don't know. You know, but are we glad that Jesus, you know, Jesus can do it. I found out in studying with the Lord this week that Jesus has a lot of Lazarus situations where it's just too late, too little, too late, and God's like, not for me. And so all of you all who got a Lazarus in a tomb, Jesus said, it's not too little or too late for me. So I'm still able. Hallelujah. Ashley, do we have another caller?
We have another caller.
Oh, I like another caller.
Yes, next on the line is Brian from Tennessee, and he, too, is calling for direction in his life. Brian, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian from Tennessee. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm glad you called. Thanks for calling in. Now, listen, Brian, are you married yet?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because, you know, God is getting ready to do some great, wonderful things in your marriage. But God said to tell you he's going to give you an ear to hear your wife in a new way. There is something that you need to hear that you keep thinking you're hearing, but you're not. And so you're going to get another anointing to hear your wife, because this is a marriage God wants to keep going, and he's got great plans for your union, says the Holy Ghost.
Gotcha.
Hear your wife. She's saying something that you need to hear. Hear her. Huh?
I'm listening.
Hear her. Because sometimes, let me tell you something, and I'm going to give you, I'm over 60, been out here a long time, heard a lot of things. I can give you one secret that most men don't know happens. From the time you are a little boy, you are programmed to dismiss a feminine voice unless you have to listen to it. And you don't realize how much that chip turns it off when you get married, because now that's a constant one. God says you have a very brilliant wife. She's very astute. She's very perceptive. And she's saying something to you that she wants you to hear. But he said, I put you two together as a team to work forward together as heirs of life. Your marriage is definitely of God. It should have been, and it's going to be a long time, but you've got to listen.
Amen.
And I don't know any other way. You know, I don't even know you. We've never met. I couldn't pick you out of a lineup, but I know God is working in that area. Now,
man.
Anything, where else do you want to go from there, Brian?
Well, everything, a lot of things have been answered concerning with exhortation this year earlier. It's really positioned me to kind of cautiously, I just want to really know what the next step is. I'm willing to maintain, you know what I'm saying, what the next step is, but I'm just at a place to where I'm like, what I'm doing currently, career-wise, it's kind of limiting me from what I would like to do as far as, you know, and ministry-wise.
Okay. So you want to go into ministry?
Well, I'm currently already in ministry, but it's
just...
I'm sorry.
Are you in full-time ministry?
No, not at all.
Do you want to go into full-time ministry? Is that what you want?
Well, I just want to know what the next step is.
Well, I don't think full-time ministry is it for you. I think that right now, I don't get that at all, because, first of all, your family's not going to take it, so that's not going to work. You want to get a career change. Now, what kind of schooling have you had, Brian?
Mainly just for what I currently do is just the transportation.
Uh huh.
And not anything. But.
I think you need to go to school. I think that you know you need to go to school. I see visions or dreams that you had about being in school and sitting in training, and you need to go to school. You have several things that you're good at, but God has has several, like, business ideas he wants you to consider, but the way he needs to talk to you, you need training. You need to go to school.
Yeah.
And you know you need to go to school. And you have to finish, because everything that you want to do is too big for where you are.
It's true.
So you got to decide, I want to go to school. So you'll keep your job, you'll go to school. Now, when you go to school, you need to go to school for business, because God says you have a pioneering spirit, which means you like to start things. You like new things. You love challenges. He says you have a pioneering spirit. So the vision that you have for the business idea, you need to go to school.
Gotcha.
And, you know, the beautiful thing about today is that they have so many courses you can take online for free, but you really need the classroom. You need somebody to help it make sense to you, because of how you learn.
And
God says you're an auditory learner, which means you learn faster by what you hear than by reading and all of that stuff. You ain't going to do that well. So you need a classroom where you can get the lectures and the discussions and all of that. But God said you need to go to school, and he told you you needed to go to school. And I'll tell you something else. 18 months ago, he told you he needed you in school.
Yeah.
So that's your answer. And I know it's difficult because, see, you're at a point where, God, I just don't want to waste any more time in my life. I don't know if I have all of this time, you know, and that's hard. It's because school is always a step backwards to leap forward. And that's the part that we miss when we're measuring it and we're, you know, evaluating the possibilities of going to school. We don't want that step back to go forward. We just want to keep going ahead. But sometimes in life, Brian, you need to stop and get ready to succeed in the future instead of just arrive in your future.
Yes, ma'am.
And so for you, God wants to give you an opportunity to succeed in your future and not just arrive there. Because every time we say we're not going to take that step back to school, we're already saying that when we're going to get into our future, but we'll just show up. We're not going to change it. You're not going to alter it. And God says he has big dreams from you. I'm looking at you, even, you know, as a kid, you know, 3 years old, 8 years old, you were bright and so unnurtured, just completely unnurtured. Folk did not get you your brightness, and you should have been nurtured because at that time, when your mind was young and swift, you were more than ready to be educated and trained. So now you're scared of school. But you shouldn't be, because God said, I am with you this time.
Amen.
So that's the thing he wants you to do. He wants you to go and get an education in business. And it's not, I don't even see it in big business. Like, you don't have to go and, you know, you can just go and just get enough to understand how to set up the vision that God gave you. And ministry is in your future, but it's not now. Because you need some, you know, here's what God is telling me, and you tell me what you think about this. What I'm hearing God say is that you need affirmation, and you need to know that you have some wins under your belt.
Yeah.
You need successes on your plate, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
That's why you need to go to school, so that you know that you can do it and you can succeed. And also you need to go so you can say to yourself, I can finish something. And so
do I just kind of set like the ministry, what I'm pursuing pertaining to ministry, do I kind of just set that to the side and pursue after that business-wise? Or?
Well, what in fact are you doing in ministry?
I'm just assisting as pastoral care, as an elder.
Okay. As an elder. So that's not really a great demand on you right now, is it?
Not at all.
So then you can wait, and you can go and get the background you need to go up in ministry where you want to go.
Gotcha.
Because right now for you, your whole life, because you so love God, and you've always wanted to do something great. You're this guy, you know, you're a kid, 12 years old. You have visions that are so big, you're telling yourself it's crazy. You made the mistake of telling them to a couple of people. They told you were crazy. So then you stop thinking it, and you stop thinking that it's going to happen for you, and you start thinking, okay, it's just my mind. Those visions are not over. That's why you're restless, because God still wants to bring that word to pass.
Amen.
So that's what you're going to pursue. And, you know, many people have those Joseph visions in their life. They have them. I call them those Joseph dreams of a kid, and you tell it to the wrong person, and you, from that moment on, you're talked out of it.
Yeah.
My job is to talk you back into it. Your ministry is going to happen. And let me tell you something. Church is not the only place to minister to God. It isn't the only way to minister to God. And I would love to invite you to take our assessment. When this call is over, go to drpaulaprice.com and take that assessment and let us help you get on with this.
Oh, yeah. I've taken the assessment. I've done that.
And what did they tell you? Did you sign up for a program?
I haven't signed up for a program yet. I haven't ever got back in contact with, or they haven't got back in contact with me concerning it. I did, like, you know what I'm saying, with one of the counselors. I've done that as well, but I just, you know, it kind of been, you know, did it off after that.
Well, listen, go back in, because here's where you are. You are going to have to do business, and I don't see it's huge. I don't. I just think that you need more education to even feel good about yourself where you want to go. You are trapped in your life. You're frustrated. You just,
yeah.
I just thought I want to do something. I just, please, don't tell me that this is my life. Just don't tell me that. You know, tell
yeah.
me there's something else. But you have to make that happen. So, but what you need to do is call back to the counselor, whoever that advisor was. I need you to call back to them, and let's see how we can get you unstuck. Because where you are right now, you are just frustrated. You are like, you got all of this purpose and destiny bubbling up in your soul, and it's frustrating. You are showing up in your dreams and showing up in your words. You almost think you're imagining things, and then you go and you do the same job every day, and you're like, what? God, help.
Yeah.
I understand that. And that's where God is with you right now. Son, let me help.
Gotcha.
So call back to that advisor. Find out what you can do to get going. Don't miss your window. You know, even if you don't have a program, our programs here and what we offer here is support. You may just need an advisor to coach you through getting your in your school or getting you through what you have to do. But you need someone to encourage you and to coach you.
Amen.
Because your destiny is really huge. And when you have a big destiny, it makes you think, it makes your mind not work. Because you can't settle on anything. And that's where you are right now. You can't settle on anything because your destiny is calling and it's too big.
Yeah.
So are you going to call back? You're going to call back your advisor, right?
Most definitely. Yes, ma'am.
All right. I'm going to pray for you because God has great plans for you. I'm telling you. You are poised for change. Whenever you feel this restless, change is right around the corner.
Amen.
Father, thank you for Brian. Lord, continue to lead him and guide him by your spirit. But God, open up his book, open up his revelation, open up his destiny in a way that he knows where to go. Put him in the school. God, there is a school. I see a community school not far from where he is. God, I'm asking that you would give him favor there for him to go and finish his education and become Lord, confident in knowing what he knows and then understanding where you're taking him next. And I thank you for doing it for him. And I bless his marriage. And I bless his wife. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. God bless.
Likewise.
Bye-bye. Ashley?
Yeah, man.
Yes, ma'am.
Do I get a break?
Yeah.
I know. You know. Hey, listen, you got in trouble for making me work through my break last time. You remember? One of our listeners. So, listen, you better treat me right, girl. Give me my break.
All right. This is your union break. And we're going to actually cut to Prophet Adia Peterson with some announcements, and then we'll have some commercial breaks. So, Prophet Adia, what's going on in the world of Dr. Paula Price?
Hey, guys. Dr. Price, I'm loving today's show. I'm online. I'm on your Twitter. It looks like everybody else is loving the show, too. We just want to give you this quick social break so that you know how you can connect with Dr. Price once the Paula Price show is over. If you're on Twitter, we want you to follow Dr. Price. You can reach her at Dr. Paula Price. You can also hashtag Paula Price Show to talk about everything Paula Price Show related. If you haven't liked Dr. Price on Facebook yet, go ahead and do that. Just hit Apostle Paula Price in that search, and you can click like on her page, and you'll instantly be able to access all of her posts and messages, and you'll also be able to message Dr. Price as well. If you're a businessman or woman, we want you to know that Dr. Price is on LinkedIn. You can go to www.linkedin.com. She's posting all the news about her assessment, about how to get your group or team involved in what she's doing, how to get to the events, and all those different things on linkedin.com. So look her up there at Dr. Paula Price on LinkedIn. So we want you to know that you don't have to stop connecting with us once the Paula Price show is over. If you want to listen to today's show again, we want you to visit us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You can listen to today's show, or you can go back and listen to any show that we've broadcast, including our Tuesday nights. So there's lots of ways that you can stay connected with Dr. Price after the program. So we'll see you online. Back to you, Prof. Ashley.
All right, Prophet Adia, I always want to say always out there in the field, because that's what it sounds like, always out there online, handling what's going on in the world. I'm Dr. Paula Price. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
Spiritual leadership for ministries is an ever-changing frontier. There are thousands of books on what makes for a great leader, how to get the best out of your people, how to grow your church, or expand your vision. However, there are few books to tell a leader when they're doing it right. Of course, there are the signs of progress and proof of outcomes, but as a leader, wouldn't you really like to know the truth? There are 10 things every leader should know who sincerely want to be successful in ministry. What type of ministry do I really have? What type of members does my leadership attract? What are the gifts and callings currently active in my ministry? What is the ministerial readiness of each individual? Who is the most compatible with my vision? Do I have the people I need to achieve the vision? Do I have the right people in the right positions? Do I know the hidden potential within my ministry? Are my people sufficiently equipped to replicate my message? Not having answers to these questions has proven to make spiritual leadership challenging for many ministers. The key to great leadership is producing great people. Any organization is only as strong, effective, and excellent as the people that comprise it. When you know your people, you know your organization. Rediscover yours by considering the Standardized Ministry Organizational Assessment. Sign up online today by visiting www.ppmglobalresources.com.
All right, I'm blowing the whistle. Break time is over, Dr. Price. Are you there, Apostle?
I'm in union with the Holy Ghost, so do you mean to tell me that I'm only going to get a three-minute break?
Now, see, you can't throw the Holy Ghost in there like that.
I know. Hey, listen, I'll work for whatever leverage I can come up with.
Yeah, I would do the same thing. I can agree with that.
So, now, who do we have next on the line?
Next on the line is Andrew from New York. And he is calling because he had a friend share the link with him to the show. So he is fired up. He said, I just want prayer. Whatever the Lord shares with Dr. Price, just pray. So, Andrew, you are live on the line with the one and only Dr. Paul Price.
Well, first of all, praise God. I want to give honor first to God. That's my Lord and Savior. Amen. I just thank God for all he's done, and I honor you. I'm just honored to have this privilege. Amen. I read your book, on the Prophet's Handbook, and it has blessed me, and just being on the line has blessed me. And I just thank God, amen, just being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that word today just ministered to my soul. I just thank God. I just love the Lord, and it just fires me up. And I'm just charged up in God. I thank God for you, Dr. Price. Amen. It's an honor just even talking to you over the airwaves. Bible said, give honor to whom honor is due. And that book has blessed me, the Prophet's Handbook. And I mean, I was just saying, one day, Lord, when I get a chance, I'd love to meet her in person. But I just thank God, and I'm on the line. That's my first time. Until I was led here, the Holy Spirit, and however the Lord would lead you, amen, to speak or whatever it be, I receive it. And I honor you. I bless you. I thank God for you, your ministry, the work. And I pray that God continue to take you higher and fill you with greatness, and even your heart desire, the things that God has spoken to you, that it will come to pass, and God would manifest itself in a great and a supernatural way. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Andrew. Well, listen, I got minister too, so now let's find out how I can reciprocate. Andrew, what do you do? Are you a minister? Are you in ministry? Or what is it that you do?
I am in ministry. Yes, I am. I have been in ministry over 30-something years so far. You know, I serve with my pastor's apostle, Ira Davidson, New York Deliverance Gospel Temple. I serve as an armor bearer. I'm on the radio, three radio stations on the internet, teaching, preaching, teach at the Bible school. So I have been in ministry for some time. Actually, it took over as a part of my life, and that's an everyday thing for me. I only work like part-time, but I'm basically in ministry, yes.
Well, amen. Well, I'm obviously in ministry, and you obviously love the prophetic. Now, did you get the Prophet's Dictionary?
No, I didn't get that one yet, but I do got the Prophet's Handbook, that one, dear. I do have that one.
Get the dictionary, because you're going to love it, too. But what I want to say to you is that I hear God just saying to you, continue to be faithful in that which is least, because there's change coming for you and your ministry. Your ministry and you are coming up on change, and it's a change that your leaders are praying for. They're asking God, should we go after this? Should we do this? Or should we do that? Regardless of all that might be going on, but I hear God saying to you, even when that change comes, it's going to affect you. Stay faithful in even the little things. Stay faithful in the little things.
Thank you.
Stay faithful in the little things.
Yes. Thank you.
Because sometimes we get to doing the job so long, we forget the little things. And because when, especially when the man's grow, that's the first thing I hear. I also hear God saying that he's doing something with you in terms of the young men around your in your ministry. I don't know if you started that, but you need to be praying toward that end.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For the counseling and the coaching of really just overall mentoring. I see a lot of young men, young boys, youngsters, I will say, but also who are without parents. There is some sort of a ministry thing that the Lord wants to do in your organization, not just through you personally, but in your organization where he can go back and recoup these young men's lives.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's important to God right about now, especially where you're situated in your region. The Holy Spirit wants you all to give a more open attention, because we, no matter how great we are in ministry, we can't replicate ourselves and leave replications of ourselves behind, then we failed.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you.
So that for you as well as for your leaders, you need to think about that. I see you sitting down. I know that you do Bible training and all of that and whatever, but you also need to do some practical development on these people being successful in life. I hear God saying he wants them successful in life.
Hmm.
Because sometimes we can get so spiritual, we get so religious, we forget that we only get them a couple of hours a week. God has them all the other time, and we need to equip them for what else they have to do. I see schooling. There's some mentorship for schooling. I see vocational counseling and career. Those things are needed in your organization, in your body. Now, I know they have some things, but I think those numbers are about to increase, and you need to diversify, change up a little bit of what's going on.
Thank you, Jesus. I receive that.
That's what I hear the Holy Ghost saying. Let me pray for you. I thank you so much for your call, but I wanted to give you that prayer. Father, thank you so much for Andrew.
Yes.
Thank you for veteran soldiers like him who've been out there on the battlefield and in the mission field for 30 years. But Lord, that's amazing, because
thank
that means, God, that you've got these vanguards out here that'll keep it going. I'm asking that you would visit his home, that you would bless his family, bless his own children, his own
Jesus.
Family,
thank
children's
you,
children, his grandchildren. God, I'm asking that you would take and cause this seed sown to reverberate throughout the generation.
Yes, Lord.
God, I thank you for the new marriages that are coming into his family, Lord, that
thank
they're the
Jesus.
Right people and that they're covered by the blood of the Lamb and that
yes,
they fulfill
Jesus.
Purpose. God, I thank you that all of his seed marries into
yes,
the kingdom
Jesus.
And not just
Jesus.
Gets out of the
yes,
single life.
Lord.
I'm asking that
yes.
you would bless them to marry into the kingdom. I
yes,
thank
Jesus.
You that those that you catch for ministry, Lord, that they
yes.
will answer the call and follow in the footsteps as decreed. God, this
yes,
is a
Jesus.
Levitical home. I'm asking
yes.
that ministerial mantle that's on that house, that it never leaves and that it continues
yes,
to bring you glory. And God,
thank
those
you.
That are trying to be wayward and go off the beaten path, God, we corral
yes,
them by
Jesus.
The Holy
yes,
Ghost.
Jesus.
Bring
yes.
them back into divine purpose.
Yes,
for your go ask God over shake it about
thank
us.
You, Jesus.
And
thank
we break
you.
Every yoke of bondage off of. We come against that wandering spirit that would
yes.
cause them to wander away from you, and we bring
yes,
them back,
Jesus.
God, like sheep gone astray.
Yes,
we
Jesus.
Bring them back, and God, we do the
thank
same
you,
thing.
Jesus.
With the wandering members
thank
of the house, we bring them
yes.
back under the
yes,
yoke
Jesus.
That they belong
yes,
to. God, and we thank you that you would give that leader a renewed
yes.
zeal, a renewed
Jesus.
Zest, a renewed awareness,
you,
God, a trigger
you,
in him that reviving that he needs to pass on
thank
to the
you,
body. And we thank you for
Jesus.
Whatever the steps are, ordering them according to your
yes,
word.
Jesus.
And we bless
yes,
you for
Jesus.
It, Father, in
thank
Jesus'
you,
name.
Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet. And I want to just share one thing with you, when you spoke about marriage, you was in the spirit because that's what God was putting in my spirit. My wife went home to be with the Lord 20 years ago, and I still
uh-huh.
been waiting. So when you spoke about the marriages, that was right up the alley. I just want to thank God for that.
Well, I saw a marriage coming. I thought it was one of your children, but I saw a marriage coming. Well, it's a couple of them. You have several of them. But God is saying, be faithful. I keep hearing him say, be faithful. I don't know what that
yes.
means, but you want to seek him on that.
Yes. Yes. I know
amen.
What it means. Yes.
God bless.
Thank God put in my spirit and told me to hold on. So God bless you and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, God bless you.
Oh, yes. I love New York. New York is in the house.
I know it, right? My neck of the woods.
That's right.
Okay. What else do I have? Do I have another caller?
You do. Next on the line is Jackie from Virginia, speaking of the East Coast. And she is calling today, Dr. Price, because she needs a mental breakthrough. She is wrestling with some things and needs some assistance in breaking through in that area. Jackie, you are live on the line with Dr. Price.
Hello, Jackie.
Yes, amen. I'm so glad to talk to you. I love you. I love your ministry. I took the assessment last year, and I got involved with the LifeTracks part of the ministry, and it has been a tremendous blessing to me. I just, because of what I struggle with, I need accountability, and I just thank God for it, and my life has really flourished. I'm just going through something right now where I'm just, and this happens to me from time to time, just a serious mental attack. And, you know, I've tried to convey to others at different times in my life when it's occurring, but I just don't think anybody really understands what I'm going through. Like, it's serious, it's crucial, and I just need prayer to help me to get through this.
Well, Jackie, I'm going to give you two things that the Lord said and that I feel like I heard from God. One of them has to do with your nutrition. You have a chemical thing in your body that goes off, and when you have a binge on a particular food, it knocks off your body chemistry. So I don't know what that binge is. He didn't ask me. I guess if I had time to dig through it, I would. But that's the one thing I do know. Whatever there is a favorite thing you like, and when you get it, it's not often, but you get an appetite for it, and it gets crazy. That's the first thing I would say to you. The second thing is be careful what you take in on television. Sometimes even when you just have it playing in the background, some of us are very susceptible to certain things. And so I just hear the Lord saying, when you're in that vulnerable state, you want to keep the word going in your life. You want to keep those kinds of things going for a season. But those are the two things I immediately heard God say to me as you were talking. You need nutritional counseling. because a lot of what you're facing is just as much your diet, and it's not like you eat poorly. It's like something is not mixing with your chemistry, and it messes with your ability to focus, clarity, et cetera. There are just deficiencies there. I also hear that you might want to get checked for hormonal things because that happens as well. And we, you know, in the church, in Christendom, we can't talk like that. See, we can't say, you know, that, no, no, babe, you can't tell the truth, you know, like, okay, because you don't have faith. I mean, I've got faith. I just think God's commands on the human body is a greater faith than my faith. I mean, because it's working against my desire. You know, I'm not asking for the years to click up, but they are. But I just think that you need good nutritional guidance. You need a hormonal check, and you do need to be careful about what you take in, even recreationally, you know, whether it's television or radio or songs or whatever, because certain things, because of how we had to come through to get to the cross, certain things make us vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so you have certain things that you are just vulnerable to. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and they say to me, you know, I don't have a problem. I could watch anything I want, but you don't sit where I sit. So, you know, it's not a threat for you to watch half of that. It's a threat for me, you know. So I need to keep my vessel in a certain posture for me because of where God delivered me from. See, it's where we got what he delivered us from that determines our future warfare. And so you might have to start making those connections in your prayer time. But those are things that I really hear God saying to you right away. Be careful. You want to put a lot of time just really putting his word in you and filling those voids in you. And when you take a blow, that's when you need it. Because, you know, you right now, I don't know what your life is, but you got, I see nothing but fists punching you. And so you got a lot of blows to deal with. And they weaken your soul. They weaken your spirit, and you get after a while you're tired. If you stay up a whole lot, doing a whole lot of things, all of those things weaken you because no matter how much we can say, well, my spirit is strong, your spirit is still confined to your body, and it needs your body in a certain state of existence for it to even do its job. Those are the things that I hear for you immediately. Now, I'm going to pray about the attack, but I'm telling you, that a lot of that is you need to work on that nutrition. And, I mean, I'm not saying it like I know it as a doctor in that area. That is not my expertise, but I do know the Holy Ghost, and I do know that you're his daughter, and I know that he's been working with you on something for the last 18 years, bringing you to a place. And it's that that he's working on now. And so sometimes God has to teach us what kind of external things we can do to maintain our deliverance and our healing.
Amen. I said amen. I totally agree with everything you're saying. Wow, that's awesome about the nutritional thing, because I've been praying God, you know, to help me, because I know that there are some things just like just exactly the way you said, and I wondered why, you know, it was such an issue for me, as well as the things that I take in, like TV and what I read and all that stuff, because I feel like sometimes like an outcast or an outsider, because I'm such a proponent of that. I'm such a proponent of, you know, I'm not supposed to be watching this, or I'm not supposed to be reading that, or I'm not supposed to be here, I'm not supposed to be there. And sometimes I feel like I'm being ridiculous, and that's not true. You know, because people don't really support that. So I just totally receive what you're saying. This is so God. I just need to yield to that.
Well, here's the thing that we need to know. God delivers us from, you know, you talk about, we can see it in a literal sense. If a person has an alcohol problem, we can see very clearly that they don't, alcohol is not their friend. Now, that doesn't make them a good or bad Christian or weak or whatever. To me, it's for somebody's alcohol, for somebody else's broccoli, for somebody else's, you know, it's nuts. So, you know, people who are allergic to nuts, your spirit has susceptibility, mostly your soul. Your spirit, not so much. Your soul. Although 1 Corinthians 7 say you can infect your spirit as well. So there are things spirits can be very susceptible to that you have to guard against because of how God brought you into existence and you're wrestling in this world. You know, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us, but it's still an earthen vessel. So that's number one. If you are a person who were in the cult and all of that stuff in the past, then a lot of things you can't play with. That just is not going to work for you. Okay? Because, see, that's a familiar spirit for you. Now, that may not have been a familiar spirit for somebody else, but you got familiar with those spirits. I'm using you theoretically. I don't, you know. But that's something that you can't watch that. And but also, if you're called to do a certain dimension of kingdom business, then you cannot be a partaker of the same thing you're called to address in the name of the Lord. You know, how can Satan cast out Satan? So, but here's what I want to say to you, because I've had this discussion, and people say all of that stuff to me. I pay people no mind. I want to be at the top of my game all the time in God. I want to be right on it. I do not want to figure out, okay, God, is it here today and gone tomorrow? I don't want that. So whatever I know affects my ability to be what I want to be with God on demand. Not just at his command, but on demand, that I'm not going to deal with it. And people don't define my Christianity for me. One of the things that I have learned is that today's Christianity measures itself by the least it can do for God, not the most. It measures itself by its minimalism, not its maximum. See, so you have to recognize that we're always getting counsel from people who are doing the minimum of Christ. They're not doing the maximum. Because the folks who are doing the maximum are saying, hey, go at it. Go higher. Go reach for it. So you cannot let minimalists define your Christianity. Because they're just doing what they can to just not, you know, just to keep God happy. So when the people tell me that, I'm like, I don't listen to that. Because, see, I'm not trying to give him my least. I'm trying to give him my best. And that is what he defines. God defines what is your best for him. Because he knows how he made you. No need for him to tell you that you should have a great, you should sing wonderful songs for him and he didn't give you a voice. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you know, God, if you really wanted that, I really wish you had dug a little deeper in that area. He did not. And so your best is defined by you. The Bible said to him who knows to do good and do it not, to him is sin. Each one of us have, we have that universal moral mode of moral code of God, that universal righteousness that we're all mandated to. We have that. Mm-hmm. But then there is how we're built and what we're called to do that God speaks into. So you, take my word for it. I don't listen to anybody who's given God the least. They can't tell me anything because I'm going to need you to reach. Okay, so until you reach, okay, I'm not listening to you because I did not set out to give God the least of that I had. I don't give him my spare change, and I don't give him my spare faith. So I'm not doing that. And so you're going to have to go by how God gives it to you, how God, what God says makes you strong in him, and it makes you viable to him, and it makes you available and susceptible to him. Because God deals with minimalists all the time, but he gets the mileage out of the maximum, not the minimum. So you're going to put that aside. And I don't even discuss it. When they say you don't do that, and I don't, when they want to get into that, I'm not getting in that discussion with you. First of all, we got to have a debate on it. We already don't agree. So why am I going to waste my time arguing with somebody who's resolved to give God the least?
Wow.
Don't have those discussions. Don't even let people like them start with you. I don't listen to them. I'm like, okay, if God doesn't care about you, but you know, about you just doing a little of this and a little of that, if he doesn't care, I don't care. If he can live with it, I can live with it. But then you need to live with me giving him the best. Because that's how we make it happen in the Lord. And so I wanted to give you that kind of counsel so that you'll stop you know, measuring your faith by anybody but what God said. God gave you that measure of faith, so then you let him measure your faith. All right? God, I thank you for Jackie. I thank you for her power. I thank you for her strength. But God, right now, I speak to the forces that are frustrating her mind. God, I speak to the fissures in her brain that causes these breaks to happen from time to time. And I'm asking, God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, breathe the cement to seal her back together again. God, I'm asking that you cause her to stay whole, that you lead her to the doctor or the practitioner who can help her find where she needs to go in the name of Jesus, and who can give her the plan and program that's absolutely correct for her. And then, God, I'm asking that you continue to cloak her in your goodness and enmantle her in her purpose so that she can fulfill her destiny. Give her a mind that stayed on you, God. and show her that where she goes to reinforce mine. Take her into her scriptures. I just hear God saying, you need to read Isaiah, that the book of Isaiah is for you. You need to read it and learn it because there's much that God would say to you from that book. And so that's the first thing we would fill your mind with, the book of Isaiah. God wants you to get that in your spirit. And so I bless you, woman of God. I command healing to come upon you. I cancel this assignment with mental disorder on your life. I nullify that thing from this day forward, and I give you back full faculties and full control of your brain and your mind, your thoughts as well as your dreams. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Wow.
God bless you.
All right, thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless.
Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, I think she said it all. Wow, I think wow is it.
Oh, isn't God a sugar though? You know, the thing that I like about God is that, you know, again, wisdom. See, wisdom is a whole different dimension of God that this church that we're operating with is not accustomed to. We had the word, but we've not had wisdom. You know, say the word, preach the word, chant the word, incant the word, recant the word, and whatever. I mean, we have word, but we've not had the wisdom of the word. You know, people are not just the sounds that come out of their mouth. People are the motives and the reason for those sounds landing the way they land and leaving our mind the way they are. Our thoughts are important, so God has thoughts on his word. We just can't go and run down a Bible like it's a catalog and just pick out five scriptures we like. We need to find out what his mind is. What is the mind of the Lord? You know, I told her about the book of Isaiah, but in Isaiah, he says, who has known the mind of the Lord that you can be his counselor? That's a powerful statement. So I just wanted to say to all of you all who are listening, because, you know, after you've done with God, thank God, as long as I have, you pretty much are going to be comfortable with him or not. Stop defining your Christianity by your least, because you're actually saying this man is not worth your best. You can do it any way you want. I don't really make a judgment call on it like that. I'm just saying that every argument I hear for what we can and cannot do in Christ is based on the least we can give him. It is, as far as I'm concerned, it is a Christian minimalist theology. My God, I can just give him least. Well, I can watch this and God doesn't care. Yeah, you can do a lot of things. Just because we can do something doesn't mean that it is the best we can do. And a lot of times we always measure what we give God on the least we can do, on the minimal that we can give him. Okay, but if he only asks for the tithe, that's all I'm going to give him. If he asks for more than that, I don't know what to say. Well, listen, I mean, if he say all I got to do is just go to church on Sunday, then I'm just going to do it. What is that saying? I'm never going to stretch for God. I'm going to stretch for everything. I'm going to stretch for my sin because my sin is getting my maximus. My liberties are getting my maximus. My you know, privileges are getting my maximum. But I'm never going to give God my maximum. And that's not really what we mean to say, but sometimes someone has to help us ask, look at, what am I really saying? When I say that, what am I really saying? What am I saying in reverse? And I always like to make people think about that. So what am I really saying? You know, well, God doesn't really care if I do that. What are you really saying? You're saying that God doesn't care about how you treat him, or God doesn't care about how your life turns out in him. What is it that God's not caring about? And sometimes people, we have to stop just preaching somebody's cliche and begin to evaluate what we're really saying, because those words have power. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, that they're spirit and they're life. That means that all words have some sort of spiritual source and some sort of spiritual life source. And so we need to figure out what we're saying. You know, and when you're going to give somebody counsel, ask yourself, am I counseling people on my minimums or God's work? Because worship is about God's work. You will never worship God beyond what you think he's worth. And worship is more than singing a song, going to church, reading your Bible, and dancing in the spirit. Worship is giving God what he's worth. And so we have to ask him, is he worth my minimum? Is he worth my maximum? Most of what we're arguing about, all of the issues that we see in church, is about giving God the least we can do and letting him know. He ought to be glad that we consented to give him anything. You realize that that's a real haughty doctrine, even though we don't mean it to be. So I would say to everybody on the line, You know, and when people tell me that, I go, I'm not listening to you. We got to have an argument on what Jesus is worth. We're not talking, because to me, he's worth it all. And to you, he's worth a bit. So if he's worth a bit, I'm going to leave you with your bit, but you're going to leave me alone about my all. Hallelujah. How about you, Prophet? You still on the line with me?
Well, I'm still here, Dr. Price, hanging on by a thread.
Well, it's the truth. Haven't we had this discussion before?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was an inspiration for the lion's share of how we put things together around here.
Well, I do. I think about it, and you have people who are saying, well, you know, God is telling me that he wants me to do so-and-so, and then you got this old jaded saint talking about, I don't do that, and he don't bother me, probably because he knows you won't do it. Why would he waste his time? He comes to, God comes to win, so he's coming to get success, not failure. So there are a lot of things he won't say to us, he will not ever mention, won't talk about, because he's like, God's like, what's the point? I'm not going to get it, you're not going to give it, you're not inclined to, and I'm not about to put you on the hook for something I know you can't deliver. So why don't we just keep our relationship going? And I think that for the saints, we need to stop dealing with Jesus, the institutional church, and Jesus, the theology, and Jesus, the doctrine of, or the camp of, and start dealing with the man who has very strong feelings about what he wants, and he has a very solid sense of identity. You will never meet anybody with a stronger sense of identity than the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no confusion about himself, no misgivings. I told you, he doesn't second-guess himself on anything. I was right. Jesus, but you realize that that didn't turn out good for me, but I was right. Now you need to figure out why it was right, because that's where he is. And when we start maturing in him, my God, what is it going to be like? Whew, hallelujah. Y'all got me on fire today. You know, actually, I'm working today.
I think it's all that extra prayer.
Woo, Jesus, I am on fire. I think I got time, if I'm not mistaken, for another call.
Yes, you do. You have next on the line another PPM Global success story in the making, Linda from Connecticut. She's calling in today. Dr. Price, just as a refresher, you spoke to her several months ago and told her to sit in the middle of the church.
Linda McCauley!
Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Paula Price. I didn't think I would get through, but God is good. But I know I spoke to you January 4th was my first time calling on your and listening and calling, and you really went deep. And then I took your assessment, and I'm on the monthly life advisement with Prophet Ashley, and I'm telling you, amazing. I'm just so grateful and thankful for your ministry and for the you know, for the business as far as Paula Price Global. So I'm really, really grateful. So.
Well, I'm glad to hear your voice because, you know, you every now and then you hit me up on Facebook, you know, and
yes.
I do read it. Every now and again. And you really sound like you are flourishing and thriving in God. So how are things going with you, Linda?
Wonderful, because I found a church. I mean, I just feel like in the spirit realm, like you gave me that kick to go find that church because I was looking for quite a while. God actually used somebody to tell me, like over a year ago, to go to this church. And I was telling God, well, it's in New Jersey. I'm in Connecticut, and gave him all the reasons. And now that's exactly where I am. I love it. You know, I'm taking advantage of all the classes and things that they have going on there, and I'm really, really, really happy that I finally found the right church, you know, so, and I'm grateful, and I feel like, you know, my connection to your ministry really got me on track, so thank you.
Well, thank you, too. So, Linda, are you sitting in the middle?
I am. I haven't moved from the middle. And then when I see the ushers come to try to get people to sit in the front, I'm like, no. Because I can just keep hearing your voice telling me to sit in the middle.
And I bet you hear things differently from the middle, too, don't you?
I do. Yes,
but
I do.
That is great. Linda, I am so excited to hear your voice. I'm glad to hear that the Lord is doing such a mighty thing. As I said, I've been following you on Facebook from time to time, and, you know, I've been watching the growth and how God is developing you and bringing you into fullness of purpose. So this is a great call for me today. So what can I do for you? Do you just want me to pray? Is that what this is about?
Pretty much, and then like my thing is career, because I never had an, I don't have an education, so I'm starting from ground zero, and I want to do something because I've been an administrative assistant for the past couple of jobs, and I just want to, you know, I want to get myself seasoned and just, you know, do what God would have me to do as far as career-wise.
I agree. So what we'll do is we'll pray for you to, what about this? Why don't you just go to business school?
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good idea. That's really a good idea. Okay.
Because you've already been doing it, so you just want to get the extra skills and, you know, refine your abilities, but and then get the credential for it, so just go to business school.
Okay. That's I received that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Really a, I wouldn't have thought of that, you know, because I was, like, all over the place, kind of. So thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, listen, how's your son doing?
He's like some days, sometimes he's going through some things, and I just keep remembering what you said is that, you know, just like with me, you know, it just, some things, time has to just make things happen. And, you know, I see, you know, there's change I see coming through, and, you know, I'm just, you know, as far as with I go, I'm working on what you said to focus on, which is the truth, is not giving him the word because it's like religion to him, but is to focus on loving him. And showing to him that I love him, and that's what I've been doing. And you know, I'm just you know, believing God for a move in his life. So, you know.
Well, is he responding to your love and affection for him?
A little bit. There's show signs, and then, you know, and then it seems like, you know, I don't know. He was in a situation where he. Was living with this girl, and then I was praying, you know, Lord, if she's not of you and they're not good for each other, then just let her go back home to Florida. And they split up recently. I don't know if she's going to go back to Florida or not, but, you know, also that God will bless her too and protect her, you know, so this way that he can focus on himself and his you know, and his own life and everything. And, you know, I just know that, like, I'm on the right track. I know I've got the right connections now in my life with the church and with your ministry and everything. So I know that it could only be better than it was.
It will be. And you stay focused, and you'll be surprised. And while you're staying focused, God will do a work in your son. I've seen him do it far too many times over my life with him, and he will do it. As long as there's one person who's working toward his will and his obedience, he will work in a whole family just on that ground alone. And you'll look around there, and 3 years from now, 5 years from now, you're going to have an entirely different man.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, let me pray. Because I'm glad to hear from you, Linda. I'm telling you, it's exciting.
Thank you.
And so I'm going to pray, and then you're going to go and find yourself a very good, very compatible Bible, a business school for you to go to and get settled in God. And then after that, we'll talk about you going to Bible school.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for Linda. She's a wonderful woman. And we thank you, Lord, that you've entrusted her to us and given us the privilege and the honor of helping her fulfill your purposes for her life. Continue to watch over her, Father. We cover her with the blood of the Lamb. And we thank you that you continue to hear her, to guide her footsteps, even in the school. God, pick the school. Don't even just let her fumble around. Find a school, make a connection, and then guide her through it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you for restoring her hope and empowering her to take back her life 100% so that it is available to you, Father. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Linda. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Hallelujah.
That's my girl right there.
I know. Wasn't it wonderful for you to hear your girl and to see how well she's doing? That's your program that's working with her. Look at you.
Yes. We're having some breakthroughs every month.
Oh, that's amazing. Look at you got to know the bearing fruit unto God. How does that feel?
Now, Dr. Price, I have, if you can squeeze in one more, there's another treat on the line for you.
A treat? Oh, my gosh. I could deal with one of those today.
All right, well, your final caller for today is Pastor Alicia from Louisiana. She called in. She's going to be back. She came to the forum, and she's going to be back at the summit, she said. And so she is on the line. Welcome live to the Paula Price Show, Pastor Alicia.
Hello.
How are you, my beloved? How's it going?
Oh, it's going. I love you so much.
Oh, God, we're
down here, and we're at this point just feeling a little overwhelmed.
really?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, we're a baby in pastoralship, so we've just celebrated our one-year church anniversary, which was a great success. But we took the assessment and enjoyed it thoroughly. I mean, your staff is just exceptional. I'm a little tired. I just feel like I'm doing busyness, and just like spinning my wheels and not getting anything accomplished when it comes down to the church as a body. I can't seem to get them to understand the dedication and the seriousness. I want to stop all of the busyness and really, I feel like I'm transitioning. I'm disconnecting from a lot of associates and what they're saying. I'm teaching pastors and prophets, and I'm studying your word. But I need some solid foundation. I kind of like, we've already had church, and I tell you, you just blew me away when you were speaking to the other young lady. And a breakthrough in my finances so that I can connect with global ministries and I can work the assessment the way Prophet is actually. I mean, you guys were on target, So that's it.
I understand.
Too much busy. I'm just overwhelmed.
Well, yeah, you would
be
overwhelmed.
Feel like I'm
I'll tell you why. Listen to me. I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you some wonderful counsel, and you're going to love it. You're going to say, man, I'm glad I called today. The number first thing is your church is 1 year old. You got babies. They can't help you. You are carrying them. I want you to see yourself with a long mantle and all of these babies just hanging on your mantle, on your robe. That's why you're tired. You can't. They can't do a thing to help you yet because your church has not become a body. They're still a gathering.
Yeah.
So you have to, it's going to take you a good 3 years to get your vision in them and get them transition from where they came from and from what they are into the congregation that God has given you. That takes a while. Bodies take a while to grow. So people tell you that just because the people come in and they come every week and they love you and all of that, that's success. No. That's affirmation.
Okay.
Affirmation is God saying, hey, let me show you. I did call you to do this. I did call you to pastor. That was my will. But now the work begins. And so a church is no different than an infant. You're going to have to feed it. It's going to take more than it gives. It's going to need more than you got. It's never going to let you rest. And it's going to do all of that while you form that congregation, that gathering, rather, into a congregation, a single unit. You're going to, even for them to know how to pray for you, you don't know them, they don't know you. All of this,
right.
this is familiarity. And so you cannot be impatient. You're going to have to pull back and say, you know what, we need to get to know each other. Let's lay down what my church needs. I think you did. Did you do the group assessment? Did you all do the group?
I think I just did the personal. I don't know if I did the group or not. Uh-huh.
Well, you all need to do the group, so because that's going to help you. We had another young church like yours who did that. It revolutionized how they were handling their people. You don't even know what you're dealing with yet. You just have a lot of devoted, zealous folks who love the Lord and love you. So that's the first thing I'm going to tell you. You're not going to have a church for about 3 to 5 years. Right now, you have an assembly. They're coming together every week, and we're going to keep them together, and we're going to pray them in and all of that. But if you do the group assessment, we're going to give you information about each and every one of them and the composition that you have and why they chose you and how you can keep them in your mantle, talking about you and your husband. We're going to give you information that's going to tell you even the kind of people that you draw, how to develop them, and what kind of programs you should put together, because I agree with you. When you have a new church, you can fall into busy work just trying to keep everybody satisfied. It's kind of like having you feel that way because you don't have a focus.
Yeah.
Do that group thing. When you do the group assessment, we're going to give you focus. We're going to give you guidelines. We're going to give you some presentations. You're going to know what to do with these people. So do that group assessment. I think for you, it's going to make your life very different. and very empowered. When we get together in November, you know, we're going to talk, and I'm going to pray with you all because
okay.
I know what this is like. You know, I know where you are, but you are expecting way too much from a one-year-old church.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like trying to respect the law from a one-year-old baby.
Yeah, I mean, it's and I am carrying it exactly what you said. I mean, everything, cleaning the toilets. I mean, I do it all, just carrying them. And I'm like,
yes.
You know, this is yours. This is yours. This is not for me. You're doing this for Christ.
No, but it's not theirs yet. See, that's where you miss. It's not theirs. You're theirs. That's your church, but you belong to them. You are their pastor. That's your church. And now that's what the development era is. That's what the whole purpose is. The whole process is getting them to buy into it, for them to – and first it's got to be formed in them. Your church hasn't formed in the spirit yet, let alone in them. So they're not entering into something that's already an established institution. All of that is what we must do. Right now, they're just coming to church, love the pastor, love the word. This is great. I'm going home.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's heartening because I do a learning training courses, and I go different places, different parishes, other churches. I have a women's retreat that's coming up. And, I mean, it's an outpouring of people that follow me, that are there, that enjoy. But coming to my own church, it's like I go from the mountaintop down to the valley.
No, you go from people who got grown children back home to your house of babies.
Yes. Yes.
They love you, but they're loving you like a one-year-old baby's going to love you.
Okay.
So you're expecting a lot, and you need to get, well, we'll talk about it because I'm running out of time.
Okay.
But we'll
all
talk
right.
about it when you get here. We're going to map this out, but take that group thing when you. Well, we'll talk about all of that because that's where you are right now. There's nothing wrong with your church, and there's nothing wrong with you. You all just have to gel and jive, and you haven't done that yet.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right. Let me pray for you, my beloved. You cannot hang up without me praying.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, that's what I need. You.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And please, would you please include my finances for job or something so that I will be able to financially impart into your ministry and do the things that I need to do. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to pray that your people want to support you because their money is in your house. Father, in Father, thank you so much for Pastor Alicia. I thank you for their ministry in Louisiana. First of all, I thank you for you, Jesus Christ, and for the brand new baby that you birthed. And I thank you that you kept your baby together in the planet for a year. Now, Lord, we decree, Lord, 50 years on this church. We decree the growth. We decree the establishment. We decree the maturity. Now, God, I'm asking that you begin to breathe on that body and breathe the cohesion they need and the cohesiveness to each one of the members and cause them to awaken to who you are in them and who they are to this ministry. Let them see purpose. Let them become hungry for purpose. And, God, I'm asking that you fulfill the reason you brought them together. Now, Lord, I'm asking for intercessors to come into that church.
Yes.
I'm asking for prayer warriors to come into that church. She needs a good amount of seasoned saints to help her work with these unseasoned ones so that you can temper this work and cause it to grow in your glory. And, Lord, we thank you that you bring in mature people for whom tithing and support is not a foreign concept. And you do, God, I thank you for teaching those that are there about tithing and about supporting the work and growing them up, God, that they can secure what you have brought into existence. I bless you for this. Now, Lord, I'm asking that you would give her other opportunities and means of finances, that you would open up opportunities for her to earn funds in speaking and in traveling and whatever other gifts she has, God, whatever her tent making is, I'm asking that you would honor it and cause it to be prosperous for her in the awesome name of Jesus. And
thank
we bless you,
Lord.
For her, God. Give her peace of heart and peace of mind.
Thank you,
in
Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Amen. I love you. See you in November.
I'm looking forward to it. Love you, too. Take care now.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, Prophet, I've run out of time. I can't pray another prayer for another person today.
That's right. That's a wrap.
Well, then, listen, thank you for joining me. Join me again on Tuesday night for our Tuesday night session, and again next Thursday for the Paula Price Show to call in. So I got a training on Tuesday, call in on Thursday. You get me twice a week. I love you all. Listen, hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. By all means, let me hear from you. God bless you. Until next time.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.